And today I'm going to introduce you to someone whom I hope will become a regular on this program. His name is Peter Malone, and he heads the film office at Cygnus, the World Catholic Association for Communication. Now, you'll soon hear Peter introduce himself, very modestly. In actual fact, he's a real film connoisseur, a well-respected film critic, the member of many film juries, and author of books on cinema. I've asked him if he would like to collaborate with Vatican Radio and bring some of the wonderful world of film and his thoughts on what's showing to the programme. Haven't every single one of us, after all, seen a film that has been particularly meaningful to our lives and our dreams? Don't we all enjoy that magic feeling of expectation and excitement when the lights go down and the credits start to scroll across the silver screen? Hello and welcome, Peter Malone. Hoping that you become one of our habitué voices on the English programme. We're going to be talking about cinema, which I kind of deduce from what I read and hear about you is what you do day in and day out.
Well, not entirely, but yes, a fair amount of time, you're right.
Will you tell us who you are, what your background is, and about your passion, I think it must be?
Well, I don't know whether your listeners can detect accents, but I'm from Australia, so I suppose I'd better put that on the table first of all. And as regards myself, I belong to a religious order, the Missionaries of the Sacred Heart, and I was ordained a long time ago, back during Vatican II in 1965. And
long ago, Peter.
Well, I'm afraid it's 44 years this year. So that's what happens. But actually, when I came home from studies and had a background in looking at films at boarding school especially and got to know them and read about them, the magazine that my congregation publishes in Australia, we decided to have a film review. So at the beginning of 1968, I saw To Sir With Love and Far From the Madding Crowd and have been reviewing ever since.
Can I ask you a very difficult question?
Certainly.
If you can think back in all these years, I'm not going to ask you what your favourite film has been because that's impossible to answer, but can you give me three titles that have been meaningful in your life as a cinema lover and critic?
Well, when I have been asked the question before, even though, as you say, it's impossible to answer, I used to say 2001 A Space Odyssey, and that has meant a lot to me. I actually saw it the day that it opened in Sydney. On the Cinerama screen. It was an extraordinary experience, and it always seemed to me both philosophical and poetic, so that somehow I got caught up in it, the first 45 minutes there with the apes and evolution, and then especially the journey beyond Jupiter and space at the end. I've seen it since, and the middle part about 2001 didn't actually happen like that, so it doesn't seem so good. But I'll add another. And it's Apocalypse Now. Not the re-edited version that Coppola did. He added material back which I would have left out. But somehow or other, as an experience of not just war, but of human goodness and evil, I find it very difficult to find something better than that. And I'd better be patriotic and add in a third one would be maybe one that you haven't come across. Have you ever seen The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith?
I've never heard of it, actually.
It's one of our best Australian films, I find. It was directed by Fred Skepsey, who's done a fair amount of work in Hollywood.
Yes.
But it's set in 1901, which is when Australia became a Commonwealth. And it's about an Aborigine who is brought up in a Christian tradition but is drawn back out into the bush and absorbs, I suppose, that hostile attitude towards the whites and goes on a rampage. It's based on a true story, and it was written by Thomas Keneally, who wrote Schindler's Ark, on which the film was based. So in terms of getting into the core of, I suppose, goodness and evil in our Australian experience, then I'd add The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith.
They're all more or less films about goodness and evil.
I think yes. Now that you say that, I do. I mean, I could add in Woody Allen's "Purple Rose of Cairo," but it'd be in the top 100, perhaps. But I don't know about Good and Evil there.
Super. Well, now maybe we have a little more of an insight into you. And shall we start with our first review here? Very appropriate film, I think, to debut on Vatican Radio's English program. And we're talking about doubt.
Doubt can be a bond as powerful as certainty.
Doubt, yes. Yes, don't start with certainties. Let's start with doubt. Have you seen it yourself?
I must admit, I haven't seen it, but I have read a lot about it, and I do know what it's about, so I do have some idea.
Yes, I'd recommend it. I think it works very well, and I noticed that it was up for a number of Oscars, including Meryl Streep and the screenplay. So,
right.
It was accepted by, I suppose, the cinema industry in general.
It didn't win, I think, any Oscars, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I thought actually one of the supporting actresses would have won,
Viola Davis.
But they went for Woody Allen as well.
Well, let's start by telling people, what is doubt about?
Father Flynn, he called Donald Miller to the rectory. So, it's happened.
We are going to have to stop him. Ourselves. What happened in the rectory?
Happened? Nothing happened. I had a talk with a boy.
What about?
Private matter.
He's 12 years old.
The story focuses on a school in the Bronx in 1964 during Advent. They're quite specific about the season. And as in those days, not so much I'm sure nowadays, there's a bit of friction between the school principal and the priest in the parish. And the school principal, played by Meryl Streep, is of the severe variety. In fact, one of the young nuns says to her, "You terrify them all." And she says, "That's how it works." And the priest is, I suppose, showing what was happening in terms of pastoral ministry for priests to be a bit of a more friendly face, a bit like Bing Crosby, I suppose, in Going My Way rather than the strict parish priest. And that is the basis then for misunderstandings and conflict between them.
So it's not really a film about pedophilia, which is the issue at heart. It's a film about doubt itself, isn't it?
It is. And in fact, I would think that at another time, it could have been about alcoholism rather than pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
That the author, obviously nodding to the problems of the church in recent times, has transposed that back. But he raises in his drama, according to his title, the fact that she could be right, she could be wrong. And you don't get enough evidence, really, throughout the film to say one way or the other. And I think that's the point that he's making, that there should be, I suppose, more uncertainty in people who are dogmatically certain.
What did you hear? What did you see that convinced you so thoroughly?
I don't think Father Flynn did anything wrong.
You just want things to be resolved so you can have simplicity back.
So the spectator leaves the cinema with the doubt in himself as well, doesn't he? It's never solved.
It's never solved, and that, I think, is the value of the drama, that you keep thinking about it. Is she merely being vindictive in accusing him? Is he a genial priest who may have given some impressions that there was more to his friendliness than actually was? Meryl Streep, I believe, complained she thought that the film was a bit stacked against her character, that people believed him rather than her. But I think it's written in such a way that you have to be wondering about how you can judge people, what's your evidence, and what are the consequences if you start being judgmental.
I was reading with interest your own review on the film, in which you note that the nun on whom the film's Sister James was based has acted as a technical advisor. And so the film is actually very true historically and true to what the details of the church and the liturgical life were in 1964.
Yes, you get a very good feel, I think, for what the church was like, especially, say, the community of sisters founded by Mother Seton, you know, still wearing the bonnet and dress that mm-hmm. she wore, which became their habit, and the routine, for instance, in the convent of getting up in the morning of the meals, which contrasts then with the rather genial approach in the local presbytery with the priests. Actually, there are a couple of things wrong, but I suppose you can't condemn a film which uses Taizé's Ubi Caritas several years before it was composed. And the breviary that is there is in English in 1964, which I'm afraid it wasn't in those days. But
well, that would really go over most people's heads, I think.
I think it might, yes.
You also pit, in a way, pre-Vatican Council II against the winds of change that Vatican Council II brought in, and that was happening in those very years.
One, two, three.
It's a new time, sister. The church needs to change.
The point being?
We should be friendlier.
It was, and it's interesting, the film uses a couple of little symbols which become very important, not so much for religious things, but Meryl Streep's principal can't stand anybody who uses biros, and of course the priest does. And it's interesting how that works, just as an emotional thing that we'd all take for granted that we use a biro. So what is this nun actually clinging on to writing with a pen? And it symbolises, I suppose, even through such small things, that there were all kinds of changes and not everybody was comfortable with them, and that caused a certain amount of conflict.
So the conflicts are many. It's a conflict of truth. It's a conflict of power between the Mother Superior and the priest. And it's a conflict of conscience in those who watch the film.
Now, why didn't I think of that? That's a very good summary. I must remember that. So it's truth, power and conscience. You're absolutely right.
You did think of it, actually. They're words that were in your review, not exactly in that order, but that's exactly what you thought of, Peter.
Oh, that's a very good summary that you've made. Helps me to understand it better.
So we do recommend people to go and see Doubt.
Yes, I don't think it's going to disturb people in a way that, say, some of the other films, like the Magdalene Sisters, for instance, did upset people.
I remember that film, yes.
Yes, I think this is. I think all of them are an appropriate challenge to our Catholic conscience these days, given the difficulties of recent times.
Thank you very, very much indeed.